Then, Father, we ask and receive it this morning as you flood our minds with light. We have precision, accuracy. There's no contradiction in this atmosphere. What we have is precision. We have information and insight in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We behold him this morning as he sees us in him. Amen. Acts 3:19. Praise the Lord. We have two sermons this morning, so that's why I'm starting early. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. We've seen the meaning of those words, that the proper arrangement means to change your mind. When you hear repentance, repentance means a change of mind. Just like when you hear the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, is not without feeling sorry for sins. You know, Romans 11:29, the gifts and callings of God are without a change of mind. Doesn't have a change of mind over it. When you have the word repentance, it means a change of mind. Luke 24:47, therefore repentance, a change of mind towards remission of sins, will be preached among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. We've looked at that word from the verb repent, metanoio, to the noun metanohai, oia. So you know, sometimes when us Yoruba boys pronounce Greek words, I believe Greek guys will start laughing because that needs another diamenio, the way you pronounce it. So he says the times of refreshing, and we said the word refreshing is the word anapsuxis, which is just one term used, A-N-A-P-S-U-X-I-S, which refers to bringing life to a dead body or bringing life to a dying body, okay, which is what we term as revival. And we said the believer doesn't need revival. He doesn't require revival because he's alive. He said we repent, and you know, time of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Now notice the word times of refreshing. The word times we said is the word kairos, moment, which is not in any particular order. It's just a moment, an instance, right? An instance, which is how people receive salvation. Instance. There is no order to salvation. Any moment, any time, a man can receive the gospel and he is saved. The times of refreshing refers to the times of a new birth. That is, times you're born again, times men can be saved, right, from the presence of the Lord. And he says that. Then he moves in verse 20. 20, he says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, 21, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Now, what times there is the word chronos, where you have chronology. C-H-R-O-N-O-S. And he talks about the restitution of all things. So, we just want to press further. What does the resurrection of Jesus, what does it mean? Because that's what we've been studying. What does that resurrection mean? What does it mean to us? What has it made available unto us? Now, we've already seen from verse 19 that there are moments of refreshing. Moments, that is, you know, people everywhere in the world can receive life from the resurrection of Jesus. They can receive life. Now, whenever you read the word presence of God, I think that's something a good number of us need to understand. You know, there's a way we talk about presence. We say, in your presence, that's where I belong, seeking your face, touching your grace. In your presence, O Lord. So we're oftentimes referred to as the presence of God, and we say the omnipresence, or we say, you know, that's the idea we have. But it's quite different from what he's saying here. When he says from the presence of the Lord, the word here is the word prosopon, P-R-O-S-O-P-O-N, which refers to appearance. For example, someone had gone somewhere, alright, we hadn't seen him for a while, then he shows up, alright? So, when I say presence, I'm referring to the fact that he wasn't around, now he's around. Oh, where is, Brother Dan? We haven't seen him, he traveled. So he comes back, and when he comes back, then we see him. That is the word prosopon. He appeared. That is the appeared. Why did he use the word appear or prosopon here? Because do not forget that before now, he was relating to the death of Jesus. Acts 3, he said in verse 15 that he was killed. They killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, wherefore we are witnesses. So, in verse 18 again, Acts 3, and those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had fulfilled. The Christ should suffer, he had fulfilled. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be brought out, when the times of refreshing may come from the appearance of the Lord. Is that clear? Or the resurrection of the Lord. Is that clear? So the word presence there relates with his death and then his resurrection. So he's saying that the times of anapusis, which is the times of the new birth or being revived or being given life, will come from his resurrection, his appearance from the dead. Let me see if you follow what I'm saying this morning. Let me see that. Come on. Let me see. Thank you. From the presence of the Lord. So when you see that, do not assume he's talking about something different. Now look at Colossians 1:22. Colossians 1:22. There's another word I want us to observe, and quickly so. He says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameable and unreprovable in his sight. Notice that he started by talking about his death. Now, verse 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am, I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, don't confuse this, that he's saying you become unblameable because you continue in the faith. No. You just need to have read, the prayer he had prayed before now. He had prayed from verse 9, okay, and to verse 10, and then to verse 11. Now, after praying, he now tells you what he expects the believer to know from his prayer. He expects that believer to know that you are a partaker of inheritance of the saints in the light. He expects you to know that you have been delivered from the power of darkness, in verse 13, and translated to the kingdom of his dear son. He expects you to know in that prayer in whom you have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, verse 15, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities of power, all things were created by him and for him. So he's highlighting his prayer, then. And it says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in 21, in your mind by wicked works, you now are he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, irreprovable in his sight. So, if you continue, so the prayer is that for you to continue in the faith, grounded and settled. So, the prayer is verse 23. He continues talking about the prayer in verse 23. This is the result of the prayer, that you are grounded. The prayer is not why you are unblameable and holy and unreprovable in his sight. The prayer is just like Paul says, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And so that's what he's saying, that you will continue in the faith, grounded and settled. So the reason for the prayer is verse 23. Verse 23 is not the reason why you are unblameable and irreprovable in his sight. Let me see if you understand that. Come on. Thank you. Alright, now, go back to 22. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Again, he uses another term, which is the word katenopion. I'll spell it for you. Like I told you, I'm not Greek. K-A-T-E-N-O-P-O-I-O-N. K-A-T-E-N-O-P-O-I-O-N. And now, this particular terminology means before him. Alright? When someone comes and then you see him before him. That's in his sight. He's not in his sight like someone looking at you like this. No. Not the way he sees you. It actually refers to, again, a presence of a man. When a man appears somewhere, when he shows up, is another shade of what we read earlier, the word prosopon. Now, this same terminology is used in Ephesians 1:4 by Paul. Ephesians 1:4. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. That's the word cutting upon. Before him in love. Now again, you see it in Jude 24. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Now again, before the presence. Before what do you mean? Before him refers to before, that is at his resurrection. So when you say you are, he presents you faultless, it's not like what he does is this. At the end of the life, he now takes you, Jude 24, and he, Jesus now presents you to Jesus' presence and say, I have packaged this guy. He's holy and unblameable. Jesus saying to Jesus, see, no. He's saying at his resurrection, his appearance from the dead, you are holy and unblameable. Or you, is able to keep you falling. He presented you faultless. His resurrection presents you faultless. So when you hear before him or his presence, you are relating with his resurrection. Let me see if you understand that. Come on. Is that clear? So it's not a future work. It's not a future task. It's in his presence. When you say, his presence, that's in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Is it clear? All right now. In his resurrection, we are holy. We are unblameable. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't say, no matter how you see me, God sees me differently. True, but he's really not talking about eyesight. He's talking about his appearance from the dead. That is, in Jesus' appearance from the dead, we were presented as holy and unblameable. Praise the Lord. Is that clear? Right, good. So, that's it. So get back to Acts 3. So, times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. From the appearance of Christ. So the resurrection. From his resurrection will come moments, different happenings of the new birth. Men, different places will be raised from death to life, spiritually speaking. Men will be brought back to life in different places all over the world. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Now look at the next thing he says. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. That is, that presence is the sending of Jesus Christ. That's not the new birth. That's not the incarnation. That is the resurrection. He will send. Now, the word to send there isn't any strange thing. He's not talking about the second coming. You just read down in verse 25. Let's take verse 25 together. In fact, let's take verse 24. Let's go verse 24. Let's go. Ye and all the prophets, up as from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Can you see it now? So these days. Go on 20, 25. Yes, go. you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham that in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now, 26 now together, let's go. Unto you first, God, having raised up son Jesus, sent him to bless you, to turn everyone away, okay, from the iniquities. Can you see now? So the sending is upon what? His resurrection. So he's not talking about Jesus being sent at the second coming, as we say. He's talking about the resurrection. He's sent to bless us, to take away our sins from his resurrection. So, now, he now says this. Pay attention now. He shall send Jesus, which was before, was preached unto you. Was preached unto you. Now, when he says before preached, just one word, before was preached. It's a word used for the prophets again. Used for the prophets. Because the word here is not the same way we preach the gospel. It's the word pro to do it before. Pro, before. They use the word cherizo. C-H-E-I-R-I-Z-O. To say something before it happened. To foretell. Is in the mix here. To foretell. What do you mean by that? Quickly look at where this word is used. Acts 22:14. The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou would know his will. Has chosen thee, past tense. Acts 22:14. Acts 26:16. Alright. Of these things which I have seen, I've appeared unto you for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and those things which I will appear unto you. So, I think that's right. It's a past tense, something that was done before. So Jesus was chosen and sent, alright, to us. So his presence today is a past tense fact. That presence we read about is a past tense fact. The resurrection has happened or is happening. The right word. Something that happened to Jesus. He was raised from the dead. He's not going to be raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead. So the term, the presence of the Lord, refers to the resurrection of Jesus. So as he was raised from the dead, what was available? The new birth was available. The new birth. Men were born into the newness of life. The new birth was available. The new birth. So, when we say, the presence of God, the presence of God, the presence of God is not a future event. The presence of God is a past tense event. That is something that has happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. That was the presence of God. Raised from death to life. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:3. He says how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried and raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the presence of God. So when we go from place to place, we are preaching and declaring the presence of God. What the presence of God? The appearance of Jesus Christ from the dead. Can I have an amen here? Alright, that's what we preach. That's the presence of God. The appearance of Jesus Christ from the dead. Is the presence of God. It's a past tense event that has a significance today. So what is available? Acts 13. It's Paul. Paul gave more details. Acts 13. In verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. Acts 13:32. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he raised up Jesus again. As it's also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Praise the Lord. That's the resurrection. All the sermons in the book of Acts preach the resurrection of Jesus. All the sermons. Acts 1, Acts 2 sermon, Acts 4 sermon, or Acts 3 sermon, Acts 5 sermon, Acts 6:7, Stephen said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. That's the resurrection. Acts 8, Philip. Acts 10, Peter, all the sermons in the book of Acts focus on the living Christ. That he is alive today. The gospel makes claims that Jesus Christ is alive. The claims of the gospel is that Jesus Christ is alive now. That's the claims of the gospel. That Jesus Christ is alive today. So, look at Hebrews 1. What does the resurrection mean to us? Hebrews 1. And why are we preaching it? Hebrews 1. He says in verse 1, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews 1, 2. Hebrews 1, 3. Who being the brightness of... Now, when it says he appointed him heir of all things. What do you mean? Heir of all things. The word there means to be given lots. Heir of what? Heir of all that the prophet said. So, all the prophecies of the prophets, they were his portion. That's what it means. They were his portion. Just like Luke 24. 25, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken of, not Christ, who have suffered these things into enter into his glory, and begin at Moses and all prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, he's the heir of all the things that God or the prophets said about God. In Hebrews 1:1. In Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down. Hallelujah. Is that his death or his resurrection? On the right hand of the majesty, and I have been made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. What inheritance? He's not talking about any other thing, but what he told you in verse 2. He's the heir of all the prophets. By that inheritance, he inherited all the prophecies of the resurrection given by the prophets. So he had, by those prophecies, obtained a more excellent name than they. That's why later on he says, which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? That is, there was no prophecy about angels. The prophecy was about the son. Hallelujah. So he has a more excellent name than they. Are you still there? Are you still there? So he says here, in verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? That's what he meant by better inheritance. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Again I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again verse 6, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. At this point, he's telling you the uniqueness of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus is distinguished from angels because he rose from the dead. He's distinguished also from all the prophets because of the same thing. Romans 1, verse 1. He says, the gospel of God, which he had promised before by the mouth of his prophets concerning his son. Verse 3. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. Verse 4. He was now declared the Son of God. The word declared the Son of God there means he was marked out. It's the word orizo in the Greek, H-O-R-I-Z-O. He was marked out from all the prophets. The Son of God with power, by the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So he's distinguished from the prophets, not because of the miracles that he did, because the miracles that he did were probably done by other prophets. He raised the dead. Some of the other prophets also raised the dead. He did. Elijah raised the dead. He did. Praise the Lord. Moses split the sea. Jesus didn't split the sea. Moses brought out water from the rock. Moses did outstanding miracles for 40 years. Miracles that have not been matched since. Joshua also did things. But that's not why Christ is our Messiah. He's our Messiah because he rose from the dead. Something that never happened to Moses. It never happened to Elijah. It never happened to Elisha. It never happened to Isaiah. It only happened to Christ. And everybody became a partaker of what happened to Christ. Can I have an amen here? Amen. That's why he's our Messiah. So the resurrection is everything. Praise God. It's everything. It's not one of the great things in the Bible. The resurrection is everything. Praise the Lord. That's the presence of God. You want to see God show up, or you want to see who God is? God showed up in the resurrection. That is His presence. In that presence, we are born again. In that presence, we are declared righteous. His presence doesn't kill. His presence brings life. Hallelujah. He told Moses, he said, no man sees my face and does not live. But the King James didn't put it well in the syntax. The King James will say, no man will see my face and live. Abba. It's supposed to be, no man sees my face and does not live. Hallelujah. Because there's no death in His presence. Hallelujah. There's only life. You cannot die with life. In Him is light. And there's no darkness at all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Alright now. So, He says, Jesus is distinguished from all the angels by His resurrection. So He goes in chapter 2. Verse 9. Oh, come on now. Having finished the angels, now says, you know, look at the question He asked. Which of the angels said He at any time? That was a rhetorical question. At that point, the angels just go, we were not seeing anything. We're just servants. But then He says in verse 6, but in a certain place testifying, saying, Hebrews 2, what is man that you are mindful of him? Very different now. Can you see? He didn't say, what are angels you are mindful of? Now, what is man? Man is unique. What is man that you are mindful of? That all your thoughts, all the prophecies were about him. Or the son of man that thou cares for him, you visit him. Thou made him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of thy hands. Thou put all things in subjection under his feet, for him that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Praise God, that's nice. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every angel. For every man is different now. The reason for the earth, the reason for the heavens is the earth. The reason for the earth is man. The reason for man is God. Hallelujah. Fellowship with God. What is man that you are mindful of him? Watch this now. He became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. In bringing what? Come on now, are you still there? In verse 10, in bringing what? Many sons. A resurrection made a family available. Many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Let's take verse 11 together. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hallelujah. So the resurrection of Jesus means I am a son of God. Hallelujah. The resurrection means I am now in the family. So when you hear times of refreshing, refers to the new birth. Now we are born into that family. Glory to God. I said glory to God. By identification, praise God. By the indwelling of the Spirit, praise God. Romans 8:29. He says, to whom did he did foreknow, he predestinated. Conformed. The word conformed there is the word somorphou in the Greek. He means to fashion like, to make like. Conform to the image of his son. It's not something that happens gradually. No, 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 no. So I say, our goal in our ministry is to make people to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's an evangelistic ministry. Conform is one word. It happens once. To be made. Conform to the image of his son. That he, Christ, Romans 8:29, might be the firstborn. Prototokos, the firstborn among many. So among many. Among many brethren. In his resurrection, he became the firstborn. Why is he called firstborn? Because his resurrection made bonds possible. Yeah, is that right, English?
He made the new birth possible. Praise God. And that's why he is called the firstborn.
Glory to God. Among many brethren. Hallelujah. In that presence, I am a son. In that presence, I'm unblameable. In that presence, I'm irreprovable. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Someone once said, when you are a son, you are led. When you are a child or a children, there was a time that thing was flying across the place about son, children, daughter, and boys. Said, are you a child or are you a son? Say, I'm a son child. That was some ignorance gone to seed. A child refers to the birth. A son refers to an inheritance, a state. It's the same thing. He brought many sons to glory. We have received the spirit of adoption, putesia. We are placed, we are seen, we are born as sons. We have received the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, there's another word used for children that refers to spiritual maturity. Ephesians 4:14, for example, from verse 11, says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we all come to the unity of the faith, to the full knowledge of the Son of God, verse 13, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness that is in Christ, or of Christ, that we henceforth be no more babes. The word there is nepios, used for maturity. Just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. Said, now I have put away childish things. That's immaturity. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Babes in Christ. So you can have a babe who is a son, right? So no, let's say you can have a son who is a babe. But what we have many places is sons are sons who are babes. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? All right, so you are a child and you are his son. You are his son and you are his child. It's the same thing. So the resurrection makes sonship available to us. We are now in the family. The reason for the resurrection is a new family. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Jesus said it. When he said, in my Father's house, is in my Father's household, in my Father's family, huikia, in my Father's family, there are many places, many rooms for you. If we're not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go, I come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. He was referring to family. That is, his resurrection, which is the right hand, his resurrection will birth a family for God. And we're in that family today. So we're in that family today. Hebrews 2:18 says, by one spirit we have access to God the Father, to our Father, to one Father. Say now, verse 19, you are no more strangers, hallelujah, or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hallelujah. We are now in the family of God. Hallelujah. That's what the resurrection has done. That's why all the epistles stressed the Father nature of God. All the epistles. James says, he says, do not hear my beloved brethren, every good given, every perfect gift from above, down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of his turning, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruit of his creature. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. We are his family. Do you get it? We are his family. Come on. Hallelujah. Then when you say, then we talk to ourselves, say, when we have all these, when we're on campus, we have these fellowship songs. Oh, you said, we are family. We are family. And you say, turn to your neighbor and say, we are family. And you see yourself that way. But you don't say that often to somebody in another fellowship. Particularly when they preach doctrines that you don't like. I don't like that church. They don't take tithes. Someone said he wasn't going to return to our church because we do not take tithes. Despite recognizing that there was no high priest in our church. You don't take tithes. How can a church? How can there be a church and they are not taking tithes? Antichrist. He's only a lazy preacher that cannot preach giving without tithes. That's laziness. How many epistles are there? Let me count it for you. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. What does he have? You have Philemon. You have 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy. You have Titus. You have 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John. You have Jude. You have the book of Revelation. Then you go to Hebrews 7. 8 verses. See, he's there. You're a lazy person. You can teach giving without tithing. I know that in this nation, the regime of making people pay to God 10% is coming to an end. In this nation, I don't know about any other nation, but in this country, the regime of having people put 10% tax. And God becomes FIRS. It has come to an end. Ephesians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. He says, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 1. Verse 2. Who walked according to the course of this world? According to the prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fully desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. God, who is rich in mercy, with the great love wherewith He has loved us. Oh, He said, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He raised us up together and made us sit together in Christ in the heavenly places. Can I have an amen here? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He must show His exceeding kindness through Jesus Christ. Then He says, by grace are you saved. Oh, it's through faith. It's the gift of God. He says, not of your own selves, not of works, lest any man boast. But you are His workmanship. He is not your workmanship. You are His own work. He didn't need your work. His own work is complete. Hallelujah. A child does not supply life to the parents. He's the parent that supplies life to the child. You did not make your father your father. He made you his son. Hallelujah. This is a irreversible relationship. You can't reverse this one. So I say, are you now saying that? You cannot change it. Simple, if I drop you from 10-story building and you are coming and reverse the process. I'm born of God! Hallelujah. Some things are just too elementary. That's the arguing whether salvation is eternal. 2017. Look at it. So anyway, we were born perfect. We are born perfect. Born perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah. This birth does not require a surgery. This birth does not require testing or immunization. Say, you know, we have to immunize the child from, if you're in Nigeria, you take like 10. One of the universities is for noise pollution. So there's anything like that? Yeah? She's not, isn't there like noise pollution, vaccination? Maybe you guys go and get it. What about big grammar? The one that the Queen of England will be scared. We have to immunize children from this thing, so. Hallelujah. We need no immunization. We're born perfect. 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 Hallelujah. Perfect. The moment you're born again, you recognize the Father. He recognizes you. You don't say, that's your daddy. Who's your daddy? Who's your mommy? For we have received the spirit of adoption. Immediately we are saying, Father. Hallelujah. Perfect. 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 So stop singing songs. Strange songs. Strange songs. You want to sing to God. You say, all the angels worship you. What are you doing there? You left the church for angel gathering. Did they call you? Angels bow before you. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You left church. Go back to church. Now where's the angel? Beautiful. You're beautiful. Leave angels alone. He has a more excellent name than thee. The which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. Hallelujah. But he says to you, you are my son. When sons are worshiping the Father, angels are taking notes. Singing with the angels. Go back to foundation school. Hallelujah. All the facts of Christ have become our facts. All the facts of his resurrection have become the facts of a new birth. You know, in the resurrection, Christ was declared righteous. He was. Let me show you that. Hebrews 1. In the resurrection, in verse 8, that throne of God is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness. He's a scepter of that kingdom. Thou love righteousness and hates iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee, verse 9, with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. Declare righteous in the spirit. What happened to him in the resurrection happened to us. That's why Romans 1:4 says he's marked out the Son of God with power. The same thing. He's declared righteous. This is righteous. This is a righteous man. And that righteousness is our righteousness. Romans chapter 3. Watch this now. See how Paul argues his case. He says in 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, to the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. He's declared just, then he's now the justifier. All the facts of his resurrection are ours today. Hallelujah. I'm declared the Son of God. I'm declared righteous. So the new birth has made available an inheritance in the family, a place in the family. I am in this family. I am in the family. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. What do you mean by joint heir? Joint heir means that we have the same portion. We have the same place. We have the same position. Hallelujah. I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. So the resurrection has made the family available. I will never forget one of the books that changed my life forever. In 1995, was reading the book by E.W. Kenyon, The Father and His Family. There are books that people will still read them at the end of this life, in heaven, as we say. That's a book that changed my life forever. The Father and His Family. I tell people, You see, God put men in the body of Christ, and He graced them specially for us. No amount of effort can take their place. No amount of effort. I'm a product of being taught. And I listen well to my teachers. I listen very well. I pay attention to what they teach. You know, some goes, ah, no, just go and get your Bible and go and study. They want to confuse you. God has graced men who are responsible for what we know. And we're grateful for them. Hallelujah. I read that book, it changed. I remember I was reading it in the bus. And I'm not sure whether I missed the bus stop, but I recall getting to a friend's house and I was in tears. I said, you mean these things are true? And you've had the Bible, and sometimes you'll be boasting that you can quote the Bible. And you're quoting rubbish. You'll be boasting, I've read the Bible cover to cover, including the maps. And you're boasting. But yet, you really don't understand what's in there. You don't understand what's there. You don't know what's there. They're materials. You get a hold of them. You read them. They explain what has been explained to you. Praise the Lord. The resurrection has made life available. It's made the family available. This was why the Old Testament saints were waiting. Hebrews 11:1 says, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the Old Testament now. For by it the elders obtained a good report. They waited. Yet, having believed God in the Old Testament time, they still did not receive the promise. In Hebrews 11, look at it, verse 39. Hebrews 11:39 now tells us about them. Hebrews 11:39. He says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without all should not be made perfect. So say perfect. If you read the book of Hebrews, you like the word perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:2 now says, Jesus Christ, whom we look on now, is the author and finisher of faith. What did he finish? What did he complete? Hebrews 12:22. Just keep reading. I mean, it's all within the context. You are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23, to the General Assembly. I like that word, General Assembly. It means a festival. A festival. The church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, the spirit of just men. Made perfect. That means they are now sons. Hallelujah. He has brought many sons to glory. He has made a new creation out of us. We are now new creatures in Christ. See, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. So the resurrection is that new creation because it had never happened before. Jesus' resurrection was the first of his kind. So that resurrection is a new creation. That God will birth sons from the dead. That men who were dead before then, Jesus came to this world as the only Son of God. John 1:14, John 1:18, John 1:16, John 3:16 calls him the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of God, Son of God. He came only begotten, monogenoa. That is, he came only. He came only from the Father. Not talking about number, talking about uniqueness. He came from the Father. He came from the Father. But in the resurrection, he came from the dead. So that all of us who were dead can also be birthed that way. Hallelujah. That's the new creation. That had never happened before. A new creation. You can give life to life. You can produce life from life. But to have life from the dead is a new creation. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And God quickened us together. That's the new creation. So spirit and body. Spirit and mind and body. We are a new creation in Christ. So our prayer is to see these things, to see it clearly, to pray and see it, not to pray for revival. I told you, praying for revival is a wrong prayer. I used to pray for revival. Because I never checked the meaning of the word. I just prayed for revival. In fact, I used to organize revival meetings. And in spite of the ignorance of the word and the intent, you know, we still had people born again, people. But you see, your knowledge will make you more effective. The prayers are prayers for revelation. Prayers for what? Revelation. To see what has happened. To see who you are. To see what God has done. Look at the Pauline prayer a bit. One more. Ephesians 1, verse 16. That he will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What do you mean his calling? His calling there means to call out what he called out of his calling and the glory of the riches of his inheritance were in the saints. So this prayer is about knowing the riches of Christ in you. And the exceeding greatness. To know that exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. According to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ. I mean, look at the way Paul put those words together. To know the exceeding greatness. When you use the word exceeding greatness, there is the word hyperbolon. Which is to surpass the limits. To throw beyond targets. Greatness. Megathos. That is, to display your the height of your authority. Your weight. The exceeding greatness of his power. Dunamis means a dynamic ability. An ability that can be used in different ways. Exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. According to the working energio or energia. Something that is effective, that is working, operational. It's working now. Hallelujah. Of his mighty power. Again, he mixes the words. Two words. His choose in the Greek. Which means to show your strength. Mighty power. Mighty power. There he uses kraton. Why did Paul say all that? He had to look for words. That's why he calls them the unsearchable riches. You can't track it on your own. You can only be told. Hallelujah. You can't track this one. You will only be told. See, you can't find out by yourself how you are God's son. You will just be told and just take it like that. Hallelujah. I'm the son of God. In glory. I'm who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what it says I can do. For when you pray, you will now see it. And as you pray that prayer, Paul says you will see yourself quickened together with Christ. Raised together. And you are made to sit together. You can't pray that prayer and be saying, something that makes me come into your presence. You can't pray that prayer and be saying, oh Lord, gogoro. That can be the result of the Pauline prayer. When you pray that prayer, just say, Father. That's what that prayer does to you. But when you pray like Jabez, you say, oh Lord, Boboro. When you pray like those folks, that's what you say, oh God, you are mightier than the mightiest. You are greater than the greatest. You are mightier than the highest. You are still doing Oriki. But when you see what was done in Christ, you will shine your eye. Yeah. Ah! Ah! Leave Bobora alone. I'm a son. Hallelujah. It's only ignorant people that use aliases. AKA. God. AKA. AKA. It's not AKA. He's not also known as. He's only known as our Father. Praise the Lord. So, as you pray that prayer, you will see that the fact of the resurrection is family. Why did Jesus come up from the dead? He came up from the dead to raise a family. Let me say something. And I had to address this. I remember Dr. Damina said this, Dr. Abel Damina, and it got my attention the way he said it. He said, we have often addressed the healing ministry of Jesus as a show of power. He said, no. It's a show of love. God heals the sick not to display his power. You go see. No. It's to show love. That's why, irrespective of what those people believe about the gospel, he touches their bodies. He heals their bodies. The bedrock of the healing ministry is that compassion of God. What a profound statement. And I believe that too. The healing ministry of Jesus, he's based on his love. Hallelujah. Sometimes some of us won't go and heal the sick to show people that we don't hear. No. You go lay hands because genuinely you think this person can't be going through this pain. He has to be out of this pain. Compassion. Not demonstration. Are you still there? Come on, let's go forth. So, the new birth has become our confession. His resurrection is our confession. Running quickly now. It's become our confession. That's what we say. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Are you learning something this morning? Romans chapter 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word there in 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him, had written him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He used the word here, homologio. Homologio means to celebrate an event. To acknowledge an event. To celebrate an event. To take note of an event. Homologio is a verb. It's an acknowledgement by an action, a deed, or vitally words. That's why it's homo. Something happened, you talk about it. Homologio. Something happened, you talk about it. Homologio. Something happened, you talk about it. Homologio. That is, it has happened, you're talking about it. Or you're thinking about it. Or you believe it. It has become a message. That is the message. What God did in Christ in the resurrection has become our confession. Is our acknowledgement. Follow this one. This is very bad. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul uses the same words. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. That's preaching now. Talking about preaching. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, that thou professed a good confession. You acknowledged a good acknowledgement before many witnesses. He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. You acknowledge. So the preaching of the gospel is confession. When you are preaching the gospel, the message you preach must be a confession. An admission of what God has done in Christ. When you are preaching or teaching, the teaching of the gospel is called the confession. The doctrine of Christ is the confession of the gospel. We are acknowledging it. We are saying the same thing as God has done in Christ. That's why in verse 13, 1 Timothy 6, check it quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6, 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He acknowledged it. A good acknowledgement. It's not about confessing for things that people sometimes talk about. There's a place of that to speak things by faith. But what he's talking about here is an acknowledgement of an event. An acknowledgement of a fact. An acknowledgement of a reality. So this is very interesting. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see one more place now. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:13. We'll see that one later. But let's just quickly see it one quickly here. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Your acknowledged subjection unto the gospel of Christ. That is your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Praise the Lord. Look at how Hebrews uses this. Hebrews 3. So how would you use this for sins? For what you have done? No. Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and great and high priest of our message. Correct? Huh? What we believe. Correct? Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4, 14. The word here is a noun. Homologia. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now, in Hebrews 3, 1, is it referring to his death or his resurrection? Thank you. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's all pass the message. Right? Come on. Let's acknowledge the truth. Correct? Come on, church. Come on. Come and talk to me. Cole. Are you here? Let us acknowledge. Hold fast that acknowledgement. We have acknowledged that he has been risen from the dead. Let's hold fast to it. Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23. So our message is a confession. A confession of Christ. Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews 10:23. Let's hold fast the message of faith without wavering. For he's faithful that promised. He's not talking about your words. No, he's talking about what he has done. And so it becomes our because we have believed it. We have acknowledged what he has done. We have acknowledged not just his death, not just his burial. More importantly, we have acknowledged his resurrection. So you can interchange our confession and the gospel and they will be sounding the same way. Our confession is the message of Christ. The message of Christ is our confession. And our confession is his resurrection from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Are you still there? Are you still there? 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the message of reconciliation. I mean, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them. Notice that. That means, what is it? The message is the word logon, the idea, the concept, or the language. He's saying to you, that the gospel has a language. It has a vocabulary. That vocabulary is not imputing their trespasses. The moment you are not sticking to the language, you are not preaching the gospel. You must stay with the language. You must stay with the verbs. You must stay with the tenses. You must stay with the prepositions. You can't adjust it to suit a situation. You must stay with it the way it is. Because his resurrection is a fact. And that fact is our gospel. Paul says, Jesus Christ raised from the dead. This is my gospel. So we have two things. I'm closing with this. We confess the gospel. First and foremost, we confess the gospel. We say the gospel. I'm who he says I am. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I acknowledge what he's doing in me right now. I acknowledge what he has done in me. Hallelujah.
That is now the gospel we preach around the world. Who has reconciled us to himself. And then gave us the message of what he has done to us. He reconciled us. Then gave to us the message of what he has done. So, when John was saying in 1 John 1:9, if you confess, if you acknowledge that our sins is faithful and just to forgive, you can't be acknowledging your unfaithfulness. That's not confession. That's not the homologia. The homologia is his faithfulness. Faithful and just to forgive. Faithful and just to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Said if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not just our sins, but also the sins of the world. I confess Christ for his sovereignty. I confess the resurrection. I acknowledge the new birth. I acknowledge the family. I acknowledge the fatherhood of God. I acknowledge I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I acknowledge that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I acknowledge that as he is, so am I in this world. I acknowledge the spirit of adoption. The spirit of sons. I acknowledge that the church is a congregation of sons. I acknowledge there's no unworthy son of God. I acknowledge that all of us were unblameable, irreprovable from his resurrection. I acknowledge that we are preserved and we are kept by the power of God. I acknowledge that as he is, so am I in this world. I acknowledge that our sins are forgiven. I acknowledge that we were predestined and we are now conformed to the image of Jesus. As he is, so are we. I acknowledge that as he rose from the dead, I rose with him. I acknowledge I'm quickened with Christ. I acknowledge I'm seated with Christ. I acknowledge I'm reconciled with Christ. This is the gospel, and I'll preach it all over the world. Lift your hands and bless the Lord. Thank you.